thank you for the privilege and honor to be gathered together like this. Thank you because our eyes see once again as it should. Thank you because our ears hear. Thank you because our hearts are positioned and aligned to receive. Thank you. Thank you for there's light in your word and it lights up, floods every mind and every heart. We give you praise and glory. Thank you for an atmosphere of faith and power. Thank you for togetherness and comprehension and participation. Thank you, O God. Thank you. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can have a seat. Amen. Okay. I have it brief, and I hope that we're able to run through as brief as it is here. Okay? So I hope for it to be a short charge. It's still on the subject, growing up spiritually, all right? Of course, we remind ourselves of the things that we have learned and shared so far, okay? And then, stir up your minds in certain areas. Praise God. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay. So, I've said again and again, right, that the statement in verse 18 is a summary of the things that Jesus said in 40 days to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, Luke lets us know that Jesus taught them 40 days. Okay? He taught them 40 days. And in Luke 24:44-46, we see that he taught them through the scriptures concerning himself. Okay? From the law of Moses to the prophets and the Psalms concerning himself. All right? So again, to decode this statement that Matthew made, of course, that Jesus said, like we said, it wasn't that Jesus, that's all he said in 40 days. And even if he made this statement, it's something he would have said severally as he explained through the scriptures. Does that make sense? Are you there? So it means all authority, of course, the word power is the Greek word exousia, to mean authority here. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. I believe the NIV has authority. Okay? So, the authority that belonged to the Father since the beginning, and the authority is to accomplish the Father's plan in the earth. So, Jesus was saying that upon his resurrection, the Father hath bequeathed that authority, which is to accomplish the Father's plan in the earth to him. Does that make sense? Amen? I know that was a mouthful, but you get the point. So, all authority in heaven and earth given to me. In John chapter 5 and verse 27, the Father has given the Son authority to execute judgment. Okay? So, to execute. In other words, what the authority, let me say it this way, The Father gave the Son authority to determine or to be the determinant factor in the Father's plan. So whoever Jesus says is saved today is saved. Whoever Jesus says is damned is damned. In John chapter 5, I can't remember which verse now, but between 20 and say 23 or so, or thereabout, the Father gave the Son authority to quicken whomsoever He will. I hope I'm not. Let me just check. Okay, it's better. We're not. We're not under pressure. Amen. Or pressure. Or prayer. Verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. What does it say, whomsoever? Whom He will. So the Son has authority to quicken whoever He pleases. Of course, you know that's within a context. So it's the Father that raises up the dead. It's the Father that makes the dead alive. But now, the Son is able to quicken whom He will. So the Father has bequeathed, I'm not saying at this point in John 5, the Father had bequeathed. That's not what I mean. Okay? The Father has bequeathed authority to the Son. And that's what we're trying to explain in Matthew 28:18. Let's move on because that's not majorly part of what we're sharing. So in Matthew 28 from verse 19 to 20, we see Jesus instruct the disciples that He has taught. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the word teach, the Greek word matheteuo, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O, a word gotten from mathetes, and mathetes means disciple, and then mathetes is gotten from manthano, a word that means to understand or to learn. Okay? So matheteuo means to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples. All right? That's what it means. To make disciples. And in verse 20, Matthew 28, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Teaching them to observe. Okay? So, you will make them disciples. You will make disciples out of those who believe. In Mark 16, verse 15 to 20, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Mark says, he that believes and is baptized is saved, he that believes not is damned, shall be damned. Shall be saved, shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly, they shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay? And from there, you see that Jesus instructed His disciples to, again, disciple. Those who believe. We've looked at all of this, right? The word follow, parakoluthēo, a word that means to accompany, a word that suggests an attainment or a journey. Okay? And that would include time. Okay? So when He says, these signs shall follow them, don't forget that's an instruction, not a statement for them to observe without their own impute. It was instructing them
And sure, these signs follow them that believe. Okay? So, their job will be done when the signs follow. Or, their job will be effective. Their obedience will be appropriate when the signs follow, right? And then, by the time you observe the word follow, it would let us realize that this is speaking of attainment over time. Okay? Something that follows closely. So it means, over time, by the work of discipleship, the signs begin to follow closely those who have been discipled. Does that make sense? Okay, I believe you see it clearly now, right? Particularly in Mark 16, 17 to 18. Okay? Not just a statement. These signs shall follow them that believe. You know, say, when they believe, you begin to see these signs, you know, independent. No, it was instructing them to disciple those who believe, so that the signs follow them. Amen? Are you there? Okay. So, from these two texts, of course, you can read verse 19 and 20 in Mark 16. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Okay? So from Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Mark 16, 17 to 18, and verse 20. Remember we highlighted verse 20 as well. That the Lord worked with them. So it was the Lord's expectation. In the preaching of the gospel. He confirmed what they preached with signs following. Glory to God. So as they preached, he confirmed what they preached with signs following. Okay? An example in the apostles that will be followed by those who believe. Now let's move on so that, I mean, we can capture the things we have to share today. So, again, like we've said before, it is the Father's expectation that men, generally, or his children, become disciples of Christ. I've said that over and over again. And then, discipleship is for growth. Okay? The essence of discipleship is growth. You're discipling someone, right? You can say to become a disciple. A disciple is someone who follows closely, is someone who is learning. Or you can use the word growing in a field, growing in a subject, okay? Growing under someone. Remember, we liken that to apprentice, or liken discipleship to apprenticeship. So, if discipleship is for growth, growth is therefore the Father's expectation, right? Because the Father's expectation is disciples. For all men to become disciples, right? 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God our Savior, don't forget that's 1 Timothy 2, that's how 1 Timothy 2, 3 ends. Who will have all men to be saved? God our Savior wants all men to be saved and all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we can say that God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that will only be possible by discipleship. Okay? So if discipleship is for growth, then growth is the Father's expectation as well. What the Father expects from all men is growth, development. Amen, amen. Development. Growth. And you have a number of, should I say, parables or parabolic or proverbial narratives in Bible, okay? Where plants, trees are used to suggest what the Father expects. Seed planting, seed sowing, and then a harvest that comes. Amen? Amen? Are you there? Okay? So you find places where that growth is referred to as salvation. And other places that growth is referred to as spiritual development. Amen, amen. I think remember we did some study some time ago on harvest, right? Increase. Okay. And we looked at that here and there through the scriptures. Now we are talking about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. You remember Deuteronomy 6, for instance, where the Lord told Moses, okay, he commanded Moses to teach the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 6, 7, he says, teach diligently. He commanded Moses to teach the children of Israel is judgments, is statutes, and what's the last one again? It's commandments. It's commandments, it's judgments, and it's statutes. So that when they get into the land, whither they go to possess it, then they will be able to function as expected. Okay? You all know that getting into the land to possess it is salvation, right? In scriptures. Now, the teaching for function in the land will be spiritual development. Then you can also include service. I mean, you should get used to those two things going together. Okay? So, it wasn't that all that God wanted was for them to possess the land. No. Having possessed the land, there's a way you should function. If you remember in verse 3, Deuteronomy 6, that the Father's expectation was for the children of Israel to increase mightily. Right? To increase. Okay? And that increase will be in two folds. Number one is their own growth, the individual growth. Number two is growth in numbers. Amen. Let's move on. So, growth is therefore the Father's expectation, right? Now, remember that we said growing up spiritually is growing in spiritual things. So you cannot just redefine what this growth is. It's just, I'm just growing. No. Growing in spiritual things, by spiritual things, and by spiritual means. Spiritual means, spiritual method, spiritual approach. Okay? Now, you would also remember that we said in John 15 and verse 2 that the Father's desire is for the branch. The Father is a husbandman, right? Jesus is the vine. We are the branches, right? And what does he expect? Fruit from the branches. The one that doesn't bear fruit, he'll take away. You remember the word take away? Airo, A-I-R-O, to lift up. In simple terms, to help. To bring forth fruit. And the one that is bringing forth fruit, to purge. And that's to prune. To, in other words, to help as well. To bring forth more fruit. More fruit. I think purge should be katha hero. Just K-T-H-A-I-R-O. Something like that. Okay? So, what the Father wants from the branches? Fruit. And then in verse 8, Jesus said, you are my disciples if you bear much fruit. So, that is the expectation. Fruitfulness. Okay? And we have said growth is for fruitfulness. Does that make sense? So the Father's expectation is fruitfulness. Is that correct? That's his expectation. In Mark 4, verse 8 and verse 20, the Father's expectation is that the word brings forth fruit in the heart of those who hear it. That's his expectation. Fruit. So growth is for fruitfulness. Again, remember we looked at Galatians 5, 22 to 23, the fruit of the Spirit. And we said that the reason why fruit was used is so that it can bring home the point. Okay? Fruit is used to depict a product of growth or maturity that can be easily related with. A product of growth or maturity that can be easily related with. Remember the example of a tree yielding fruit. When you go to the tree, it's the fruit that you partake of, that a man easily relates with. Are you there? So imagine that tree as an illustration. A parable or a narrative. Or narration. Okay? So it means that what the Father expects is to grow and bear fruit. The fruits will now be defined, okay, as your character, your conduct, your service, Okay? Your character, your conduct, your service. Essentially those three. Are you there? The product of your growth. The product of your growth. So, if growth is for fruitfulness, then we can say as well, right, that the Father's expectation is fruitfulness, right? Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. God's word prospers where or with that toe he sends it to. Remember that? That's so God's expectation of his word is for his word to prosper where he sends it. That is, for his word to come to fruition. Glory to God. So if his word has in it healing, where he sends his word to, what the Father expects is healing, right? Yes, you know that they will first of all welcome the word, right? They will mix it with faith in their heart, and then it will produce healing. But that's the expectation. Healing. I know the psalmist says he sent his word and his word healed them. Okay? So, if the word of God is sown in the heart of a man, God expects his word to prosper there. There's an expectation. When the gospel is preached to the sinner, God expects the word of the gospel to prosper in the heart of the sinner and produce salvation. When his children constantly hear the word of God, he expects that word to produce results, amen, in their hearts. So if God instructs us to feed on the word regularly, that means his expectation is fruitfulness with the word, right? Hey, are you there? Okay. For the sinner, salvation. For the saved, spiritual growth. Spiritual development. Or spiritual fruitfulness. Glory to God. Okay? I'd like to put them apart. Remember I told you growth in itself is fruitfulness, or growth is for fruitfulness. Okay? So a man will grow. That in itself can be seen as fruitfulness. But we can also see it from the perspective of what the growth now produces. Are you there? Are you there? What the growth now produces. The body of Christ is set up for growth. I mean, clearly written in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Before Ephesians 4, 11, if you look at Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, it says, "And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The body that fills, the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that's an increase there, right? That's a growth there. The body is expected to increase, to multiply. Ephesians, what did I say? 4, right? From verse 11 to 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, are you there? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Remember the word perfecting? You know, we can substitute that for growth, right? Are you there? For the growth of the saints, for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the nature of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, so the expectation in the body of Christ, of the body of Christ, is growth. May grow up into him in all things. That's each member and the body at large. Verse 16 speaks about that more. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. The body of Christ is set up for growth. Like I said about serving God. Doing ministry. If you don't want to grow, leave the body of Christ. Go. If you don't want to grow. Okay? Yes, men will have a choice to decide to grow, decide not to grow, decide to yield to the word of God, decide not to yield to the word of God, decide to yield to discipleship, decide not to yield to discipleship. But on the side of faith, you have to grow. Hallelujah. That is how God has set his body. That is how God has set the body of Christ for growth. By faith, you come in as a member and then you grow, you get trained, and then you are involved in the work of ministry and then you supply. Okay? You supply your own part to the body, and that makes for increase. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn baby, Peter admonishes the saints in Asia, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay? Remember, I wrote to many regions, so the churches in Asia. He writes to them. So he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So it is by your desire and actually feeding on the word that growth comes. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. Okay? Grace is to be received, right? By faith. Amen. It is also to be grown in. Okay, you're also growing it. Glory to God. One of the easy examples we see in Bible is in 2 Corinthians 8:9. It tells the Corinthian church, it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You know the grace of Christ. Okay, that's what he did. And then he admonished them to let the same influence their giving. Okay? So growth in the grace of Christ puts you in that position where you also function gracefully or graciously. What we call grace today, right, is the benevolence of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Is the benevolence of God. What God did, does, or has done. That's grace to us. So our growth in grace is to learn. Learn of God, and then the expectation is so that it influences your thinking and thereby your actions. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. So, something you must remember tonight is that the body of Christ is set up for growth. God established the church for growth. For growth. Amen. So it means if you're not growing, you're a problem. A problem to yourself and to the body. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that clearly shows us that growth is essential. I mean, that makes us see that if you're not growing, you become a problem to yourself. Again, Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, right? Don't be shaped into this world's mold, but be ye transformed. Okay? That's a change, a transformation, a transfiguration by the renewing of your mind. So the transformation will come by the renewal of the mind. That's how the transformation will come. By the renewal of the mind. Then he says after that, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So to prove there is to approve, to allow. The will of God is good, perfect, and acceptable. But your interaction with the Word, your fellowship, your constant fellowship with the Word will get your mind renewed so that you approve the good, perfect, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You allow it. Okay? Let's use an example. God wants you well. That is His will for you. Now, your mind must be renewed enough to approve that in your life, that it becomes your experience. If He wants you well all the time, if His healing power is available for you all the time, God wants you to renew your mind well enough that you approve that in your life. You approve that. You make that your experience. You agree with God. You accept the will of God. That it becomes your experience. Okay? So it would go beyond knowledge. In terms of facts, just having mere information. No, it will go beyond that. It will be something that you now begin to experience. But that is only possible by renewed mind. So the transformation will only be possible when your mind is renewed. Remember the word? Renovated. Changes your thought pattern. Changes your thinking. Changes how you see things. So much that it begins to affect you mentally, physically, spiritually, bodily, and so on and so forth. Amen? Amen? Okay. So growth is a necessity. If you're not growing, you'll be a problem to yourself and to the body of Christ. So growth is for a better outcome in the Christian walk. We said that differently earlier in the series.
Remember the narrative of needing to clear a bush for farming, right? And then you get there, you say, it's all about results, it's all about results. And then, rather than go through the rigor, the process of from one spot to the other, taking time to clear and cultivate ready for planting, you then say, it's all about just clearing the bushes, right? And then you plant a bomb there. And boom, okay? And at the end of the day, the bush is cleared. But have you, in the most effective way, gotten the results? Of course not. So a lot of times when we say, you know, result, we really do not know, okay, how far-reaching some things can be. Not to scare us. I mean, Jesus gave us that example. There are people who get healed and become sicker, right? Because they did not know what to do. They did not handle themselves. It was one demon that was cast out. And then by the time he left, came back and found that there's occupancy and called the rest. Was there a result? Yes. Not to scare, not to make us feel like, you know, we don't even care about results anymore. No, it doesn't make any sense. Amen? If you are serving God and you don't care about results, something is wrong with your service. Amen? Amen. If you are learning the word of God and you don't care about results, something is wrong with what you're learning. But there is a way that God expects us to get the results. Praise God. So it's not about the outcome. No, there is the best possible outcome. Hallelujah. So growth in the word is how God has designed it. And that's how we must follow. Okay? So growth is for a better outcome in the Christian walk. That you turn out better. Better. You turn out exactly as God wants. Okay? That you become fruitful as God wants. That's growth. Growth as prescribed. It's beyond merely increasing in knowledge. Now, of course, you know me. And you know the word. The Bible is not against increase in knowledge. The Bible emphasizes it. Amen? Amen. The Bible emphasizes that. Colossians 1 verse 9. For these causes, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In Philemon 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. In Ephesians 4:13 that we read earlier. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? Increase in knowledge is God's will. But the increase in knowledge has a purpose. Remember, we went to Ecclesiastes 12:13, and then we went to Proverbs 1, right? From verse 5 to 7. There's a purpose for that increase in knowledge. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. The end of that is to fear the Lord. That reverence now becomes, you know, your posture, your service, your manner of living, your worship. Reverence now becomes, you know, the way your heart participates in the things of God. So that increase in knowledge has a purpose. So it's beyond merely increasing in knowledge. It is increase in knowledge that affects your walk. Okay? It affects your walk and your service. Glory to God. It affects your walk, it affects your service. I mean, we're using certain words to qualify many things. Many things. If we begin to, break them down, we can talk about prayer. You ought to grow in prayer. You ought to grow. Okay? If you are fellowshipping with the Word, if you are being trained in a local church as you ought to, you should have grown past, I cram this prayer. And that's what I say all the time. Just cram it. Right? Say, sister, pray for us. Everlasting King of Glory. Father, Lord God, we thank you. We worship you. We adore you. Okay? You say what you mean from your heart. I mean, growth. You grow in prayer. I mean, even if it's same words, but there's a way it comes out from your lips and from your heart that's now different. Are you there? You must grow. You grow in reading the Bible. You grow in preaching it. Praise God. I don't know if you have noticed that. Maybe between, say, last year and this year, there's a way you preach in evangelism that is different now. Right? There's a way you explain scriptures. That's the proof of growth. You are becoming better. That is the essence of growth. Glory to God. Becoming better in rejoicing. There's something how do I say this now? Your experience of spiritual things, in spiritual things, is getting better. The same with the things of the Spirit. Either as a minister or as a receiver. Growth should help you to receive better. When growth makes you arrogant, there's something wrong with your growth. Amen? Hey, are you there? Growth helps you to minister better and receive better. We can touch many areas. Giving. If you are growing, you give. If you are growing, you give better. Glory to God. What about service to God? Whoever is growing will serve the Lord. Say, I thank God for my growth in 2023. I grew spiritually. And you were not going to church. What kind of growth is that? Amen? What kind of growth is that? So growth makes you function better. In the plan and the purpose of God. So spiritual growth is beyond. See, pardon me. I'm sure you know that I am not speaking against myself or God's word. To sound as though increase in knowledge is unimportant. It's very important, right? Vital. But it goes beyond, I have now increased, I now know more. That knowing more or that increase in knowledge ought to translate into to see growth only as I can explain. I'm not saying explanation doesn't, it matters. Amen. It is the person that is growing that can explain. Alright? But it must translate into results in your own personal life and in the life of others. Growth. Glory to God. Growth. A company is said to be growing if they have more branches or more products or more services, or they've been able to have more branches and maintain their standard. You can call that growth, right? There must be something that is translating to what can be called fruit, what people can relate with easily. Not that the services are going bad, all right? Some branches are closing, and then at the end of the year, they throw a party and say, we are growing. What kind of growth is that? They're not growing, amen? So that growth has its purpose. And it must reflect in your life. When we're closing the last teaching, we talked about speech. Your Christian walk must affect, are you looking at me? Writing. Because God lost. It must affect your, what was I saying? Your speech. It must. It must affect your speech. It must affect your relationships. The way you relate to people, the way you treat people. It must. It must affect your marriage. It must affect how you see fellow saints. It must. That is growth. Growth. Okay? So without putting one above the other, as the Lord graces you, all right, in terms of growth, every area of life must be getting better. Okay? So it should not be ministry at the expense of other areas. Must take everything together. Because a sound fellowship in the word, sound growth will produce a sound life. Okay? As you're getting better with the gifts of the Spirit in ministry, you ought to be getting better in how you relate with people, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? Gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Faithfulness, weakness, temperance, and so on. Amen. Are you there? So the question to ask yourself, are you growing spiritually? You know what that means? You are saying, is my fellowship with the things of God affecting me in character and conduct? And in service. If you are growing, you serve the Lord more. Okay? So when you discover that in your Christian walk, you are avoiding serving God, then something has happened lately. You have not been growing. I'll close like this in Matthew 18 and 3. To spend some time here, but it's okay. In Matthew 18 and verse 3, Jesus says something. Because in verse 1, they asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called the little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verse 3, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can look at it in terms of Bible interpretation, right, from two perspectives. Okay? For instance, in Psalm 8, verse 2 and verse 3, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength, and so on and so forth. In some other areas, you will find that narrative speaking of salvation, all right, where a man welcomes the word like a child, and then he receives what it has to offer. Amen? Hey, are you there? Okay. So that is the point there. Okay? So you can look at it from the position of conversion. Except you be converted and become as little children. But the point I will want you to focus on is the heart. So speaking about the heart. The heart. So you can look at it from the you have interpretations from the position of salvation and then from the position of growth in terms of your heart. So I'll say it like this. Your growth ought to affect your participation and your fellowship in the things of God. It's as though the more you grow, the more childlike you become in terms of your heart. Your growth is supposed to help you to easily welcome or believe. It's supposed to give you that innocence at heart where you agree quickly with God. Are you there? That's what growth does to you. Where the word of God cultivates your heart. Amen. Our time is up. As you grow, let God's word dominate your life the more. Your growth, let me even speak in terms of preparing us for what about in 3 days, 2024. Your growth should affect your participation in meetings. It should. The one that is growing ought to receive better. Growth should affect and influence receiving in Christian meetings. Because growth affects and influences your heart. Hallelujah. So remember this and don't forget, the body of Christ is set up for growth. So what you do daily matters and is important. That shows you are mindful of growth. When you put aside spiritual things for so long, you are simply saying you are not mindful of growth. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank you. Let's not take too much time.